Blog Talk Radio.
Important than keeping our children safe, especially from predators. Today's guest, Janet Gallagher, an award-winning PE teacher and self-defense instructor, has made kids' safety a priority. She is author of the book, I Need to Be Safe, I'm Worth It, a straight, no-nonsense guide to child safety that involves the entire family. If you'd like to speak with Janet, please give us a call at 347-327-9767. Our phone and chat lines are now open. Hi, Janet. Welcome.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm good. It's so nice to have you here, and you've just got so much incredible advice to give parents and concerned citizens and relatives to keep our kids safe. Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about your background and you're becoming involved in self-defense, and you're also a teacher. A little bit about your history.
Well, basically, growing up, I always was interested in the martial arts, but, you know, like many kids to even today, we couldn't afford anything like that. And back in those days, it wasn't really a big thing for girls to be a part of it, but I've always had the desire. And it wasn't until I came out here to California and a few years later, back in 93, where I finally put myself out there and said, I've been wanting to do this for a long time, and I took my first free session of a karate class. And like I knew I would, I loved it, and I've been with it ever since. And I've just excelled in my own training. And today I now have a second-degree black belt in two separate styles, in Okinawan Shorinru Karate and Shotokan Karate. And I also have a green belt in Sekiryu Jiu-Jitsu.
And you're also a teacher.
And I am a teacher. I've been teaching now for coming into 31 years, teach physical education. I've taught all ages from K to 12. But, right now, for the last 20 years, I've been teaching elementary physical education, mainly 4th, 5th, and 6th graders. And when I have taken, you know, both my teaching background and my martial arts background, one day I think I just kind of hit that high point. You know, you kind of come home from school as a teacher, you're exhausted. You know, you just want to sit down. I turn on the TV, there's the news, and just that one day it just finally hit me. A child was abducted. They went through the whole, you know, the whole nine yards of the story, and I think my blood pressure just skyrocketed. And it finally hit me, someone has to do something. Something has to be done. I know there's a lot of programs out there, but I think we need to put this in the forefront. Where can these kids get it? Where it's right in front of them without them having to go somewhere else for it. And that's when I realized, look, Janet, you're a teacher. You're with these kids every day. You have the background. Put something together. You already teach women's self-defense programs and, you know, through my karate school and all. And you have the background. Do something about it. And so
let me ask you something. Is this type of instruction to keep children safe. This is not something that's part of a regular curriculum in the schools. I mean, obviously, you've done the research.
No, it isn't. In fact, I know here in California, which is where I teach and I live, our standards from the California Education Department for physical education say that we should have combatives in our programs. But, you know, not every PE teacher has, you know, karate or any kind of martial arts background. And, you know, we all have our comfort zones, and we all have areas that we're not all that, you know, thrilled about or comfortable with to teach. So not every PE teacher really can teach some kind of a self-defense or martial arts unless they take some kind of a program. But even that doesn't really make them totally qualified. They need more training. What I decided to do was take my real training, my experience, and teach teachers how to do this and put it in their curriculum So it's not only standards-based for the state of California, but the kids are really getting something out of it, and the teacher is comfortable with it. And when you put all those three things together, you got a good program. And my goal right now is to get this get this as part of every curriculum nationwide.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about developing your program. It started out really as strictly for the schools. You developed it for your school. Yeah,
it started out mainly for my own students.
Right.
When I saw this going on, my first part of my research was what's really out there that we could put, teach the kids. And I found some things, but, not everybody agrees with everything. I have my own style of teaching. And one of my main style of teaching is make sure kids are having fun when they're being taught something. When they're having fun, they retain it better. So what I did was I started practicing on my own family, the kids in my family, to see pretty much what they were able to retain when I told them stuff. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just that. It's that I started teaching them a few very, very basic self-defense moves, not really karate. I watered it down, modified it for their age level, and to see what it is they could do pretty much to take me down and then take a man down, because there is a difference, where their center of gravity is and how they hold themselves and, of course, their weight and their strength. And when I saw some things were working, I then brought it to my own students and just for a few days here and there said, I want to try this with you. Are you up for it? And they were like, yeah, this sounds great. And so we played around with it, and then that's when I saw it's going to work. It definitely can work. The kids are interested, and you know what? This is something they could take back with them. They could take home. They can put it in their daily lifestyle, and they'll be not 100% safe. There's no guarantee in anything in this world, but at least I'm being able to offer them something.
Right.
And part of it was also not just the physical self-defense, but the proactive part.
Right.
How to be more aware before something happens. And became my biggest goal.
Talk a little bit about what you implemented initially. This started when? It was about two, three years ago when you first...
Honestly, I started all this way back in about 1996.
But when you first did it in Glendale?
When I started in Glendale, that's when I started playing around with it. And it took me about 2.5 years to really put this program where I was really happy with it.
Okay.
And I actually instituted the actual program in my curriculum in 1999 in Glendale Unified School District at one of my schools.
What does this program entail? What are you teaching the kids? And also, what's the age range that we're looking at?
I started with this. The age range was basically for my own students, 4th, 5th, and 6th grade. So it basically went from about age 8 to 12.
Okay.
And really and truly, with my research, I found, of course, at that time, that was the most popular age that was getting abducted, abused, bullied. And I thought, wow, you got something right here. We got to take care of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I started putting it together, I thought, there's other things that we have to entail. That we have to entail conflict resolution as well, which we had already done in my school district about, dealing with bullies in the school. But then I thought, we also have to deal with them in our own world at home. So I decided to put conflict resolution into the program, how to be aware of your surroundings, how to identify strangers, what to do if approached by a stranger, what your safety levels really are, and how to really check your gut feelings, what to do if you're being followed, what to do, and then it really came down to what do you actually do if you're actually grabbed.
Wow.
And then I added the last part, which were what I call code words, where families should have code words together, and that's also more of a safety tip and more of a proactive approach, again, to anybody trying to pick up a child saying that they're there in place of the parent.
So why do you think some of the old-fashioned, I'm a parent, my parents, don't talk to strangers, why do you think those have failed?
I'm like you. I've always been told by my mother, you don't talk to strangers.
Right.
And
well, you have a story in your book about what happened to you.
Yes, my very first story when I was barely 5 years old. And the thing is, and that's just it. Kids are curious. I grew up reading Curious George all the time. I was one of those Curious George.
Right.
It's like, I know I'm not supposed to, but I just want to know.
Right.
I'm curious.
Well, of course. Well, tell the story that happened to you when you were...
Well, basically, I remember it quite clearly, and I got to just, you know, preempt this with also when I showed this to my sister who lives here out here as well, mm-hmm. and she looked at it and she says, oh, my God, I remember that.
Wow.
And I said, read it. Make sure I have it right because, heck, you know, I was only barely 5 years old.
Yeah.
And she, you know, that's when she described the guy to me as well. Even when she says, I remember it so vividly. And
yeah.
She says, yeah, you got it all right. And basically, I'm from New York originally and from the suburbs. And my parents loved to go to the city on the weekends. We used to go to shows and all. And I started going when I was like 5 years old. And I remember that my mom wanted to go to the New York City Public Library. There was something she wanted to see. So, of course, we all went. And as a five-year-old, of course, I'm in this huge, huge, grand library and bored to death.
Yes, right.
And so while everybody's looking at things, and, you know, and in those days you didn't think about always holding hands. You know, you wandered. And so I wandered. I wandered around, and I was bored. And I was basically near the front entrance of the library. And I saw, to this day I remember the man was tall, and very, very thin, and he kept just with his hand motioning me over to him.
Wow.
And I just kept watching him, and he seemed very friendly. He had a beautiful smile, and I thought, okay, well, let me see what he wants. So I was slowly walking over there, and I remember the librarian, and you know, I can just hear her saying, don't go over there, come back. And I thought, well, I don't want to listen to you. I want to see what's going on.
Sure.
You know? Not that I wanted to be devious or mean, but I was a child.
Sure.
And so it wasn't like he was holding out candy or anything. He just kept motioning. It's the way he was motioning me, told me I really needed to see what he wanted to show me. And so I got literally within just a few feet of him, and the librarian just yelled out, I mean, as loud as her lungs probably could take it, for me to just stop. At that point, next thing I knew, my father was there, my mom was there,
wow.
And my father just pushed me aside, and this guy started running, and my father ran right by me. I've never seen my father run in my life, and he just, I never didn't know he could run so fast.
Yeah.
And he chased this guy out the door down the street.
Wow.
And at this point, my mom scooped me up, and she was holding me so tight, I could barely breathe, and all I could think of was, I can't breathe.
Oh,
and
God.
As soon as she let go, that's when I started getting nervous,
yeah.
that something was wrong, that I did something wrong. And my father came back, and next thing I know, I can hear the librarian like yelling to my mom and explaining. I kept telling her to stop. She wouldn't stop, and my mom's going back and forth with the librarian, and then they're all, like, looking at me, and my mom saying, I told you, you don't talk to strangers. And she went on and on and on.
Mm.
And this is when, all of a sudden, I was scared.
Yeah, of
and
course.
And the fear started coming because I'm being yelled at, and I didn't know I did something wrong.
Right.
And
well,
I wasn't scared prior.
Right, right.
You know,
but
and the whole thing was basically they were just glad I was safe. But, you know, who knows what could have happened. As far as I know, this librarian, as much as I thought what a tattletale she was, she may have saved my life.
Well, what I was going to say is that, unfortunately, this kind of scenario, thank God yours ended, you know, well, and so you were safe and sound, but a lot of kids aren't. And why do you think it's taken until to develop a program that is more than just stay away from strangers?
I don't know. I wish I had an answer for that. I really don't know. I think everybody, when they think of self-defense, they right away go into, mimicking, you know, Bruce Lee, and going into the karate mode and being physical. And I, as a teacher, maybe it's my teaching background, my first thing is you have to be aware. So awareness is your first stage of self-defense, being proactive. Knowing what to do before something happens.
Well, you're
getting
very...
your environment. Being able to trust your feelings. If your gut says, don't walk this way, you normally don't. But sometimes we don't always listen.
Right. Well, you've actually saved some lives your first year out after implementing this program at
your
school.
It was crazy. You know, like I said, I started this in 1999. We were in the middle of the program, and we were at the point where I was explaining to the children being followed by a car or a van, what to do, how to keep, you know, your eyes open, how to turn your head, get an idea, make a little list in your mind describing the vehicle. And basically at that point, it was that afternoon, apparently, and I didn't know this till 2 days later, apparently one of my students was walking home with a friend who was not in that particular class at the time. And the lesson that we taught just happened right then and there. They were being followed by a white van, and, you know, sometimes you're not sure, are you being followed, or are they just looking for an address?
Yeah.
But you have to tell kids, you can't say it's direct to them, but you have to make sure they understand anything has to be a worst-case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of thinking they're looking for an address, you have to think they're following you. So I told the kids, you know, you have to turn your head, keep an eye on it, try talking to each other, say out loud to one another what the vehicle looks like. And then once you have, you know, a good look, four or five things, keep your distance, stay ahead of the vehicle if it's behind you. If it comes up to you, do a 180, turn around, go back the other way, and
right.
go to a safe place. If you can get right back to school, go there. If your home is right in front of you, go there. And you don't have to just walk quickly and be coy about it. Run.
Right.
Get out of there.
Absolutely.
But don't go to a house where you're not 100% sure there's an adult there, because
right.
you may end up just pounding on the front door and somebody scooping you up.
Right.
What these two girls did was exactly what I told them to do. They got their list in their minds. They said it out loud to each other so they would remember it better.
Wow.
And they ran. And the nice thing was for them, or the lucky thing is they ran, they turned the corner, and one of the girls said, my aunt lives on the street, and I know she's home. And they ran there. They banged on the door. The aunt opened the door. They told the aunt what happened. They called the sheriff's department, which just happened to be down at the bottom of the hill my school is. Sheriff's department got there quite quickly. The girls gave them a description, and believe it or not, they gave them the license plate number, because I teach a little trick on that too.
Mm.
And it takes time to practice that. These girls just have to be wicked smart.
Yeah.
And they retain things quickly. 2 hours later, California Highway Patrol found the van on the 210 freeway, and they picked them up.
Wow. Wow.
And that was like the very first success story. I didn't know anything about this. Like I said, when I got to school the next day, I heard about it. And when I saw the girls, I said, tell me exactly what happened. They both hugged me and told me it happened exactly the way that I said it would happen, who knew?
Yeah, absolutely. But that's the reason that these programs need to be out there, and we all need to be aware. You went from starting out as just implementing a curriculum for teachers, and you had an outline, and you had it was all written out for the teachers, for the school
mm-hmm.
curriculum. And you also were teaching self-defense programs, right, at different facilities?
Yes, what I would do is I'd rent the Girl Scout house in Montrose area of Glendale. It was as a community thing. I thought, you know, now that it started taking off in my own schools, parents were really enjoying it, the kids were enjoying it, and people were asking me about, you know, do I do other schools and all, and I don't. So I said, why don't I just put this out to the community? You know, charge them a couple of bucks to cover the rent that I have to pay, and we'll give them like a little workshop,
right?
Like a two-hour workshop as in groups. And so I started doing that, and I was doing that for about a year and a half, and I started getting parents asking me, do I have anything they could take home with them? They can continue with their kids, because they were getting so much out of it. And so, and then a good friend of mine said, why don't you write a book for the parents? And I thought, nah, everybody writes the books, you know. Nobody wants to learn from a book. You know, it's not going to happen. But then I asked a couple of parents, if I put something like this together, would it be something that you'd want to take home with you? And I got such a positive response. And then parents said, when are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? So I finally did it. And that's the book that came out now. And the thing is, when I started doing it, I was just going to make a small, you know, pamphlet book out of it. And it just developed more. The more research I did and the more ideas I started forming in my mind, the book just got, and next thing I knew, it was 144 pages.
Wow. Well, what are we going to learn from this book? What are you instructing? When somebody picks it up, and I highly urge every parent out there, every guardian, buy this book. We'll talk about where you can get it. But what are we going to learn from this book?
The first thing you're going to learn is you got to trust your kids, and you got to let them know it's okay to say no, and you got to practice with them. You can't just say, here's a book, learn. It's not going to happen. The book I wrote is written not only to the parent, but I wrote it in a way that children can understand everything they read in here. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the first part, is that let the child read the book, and you read the book. And then take some of these little exercises that I put in there for child safety, for awareness, how to keep your distance, how to say no, and do it with your child. It's great bonding for the parent and the child, and at the same time, the child's going to retain it better because they're learning in a non-threatening environment. They're learning with the most trusted person in their life, their parent.
That's right.
That's the first part. The second part of the book shows you actual techniques. Now, I don't expect everyone to learn every technique, and it's difficult to learn just from a book. The way I wrote it, though, and the way I put it together is the photos are literally step-by-step. Every single physical technique is very, very simple to utilize. There's only like maybe three parts to it, and there's a caption under each one, and it directs you how to hold your arm, how to push somebody. The whole idea of the physical part is that a child is no way going to ever muscle an adult. I mean, that's bottom line,
right?
Okay? So what does a child use? They have to use their balance, and they have to use their whole body. Just like the way I teach women, it's the same thing. You can't bring a man down just by muscling them. You're going to lose.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So you have to find out where the center of gravity is, and you have to use that against them. And to use it, you have to use your own center of gravity and your balance. And I walk you through that in the book and show you the techniques that actually work.
And you also teach kids how to shout or how to yell.
Oh, believe it or not, I spent an entire one-hour lesson on just yelling the word no.
Wow. How is that different? Because you've talked about, you know, as you said, kids love to shout and yell, and they're on the playground or just fooling around.
Oh,
they
absolutely.
Love...
Well, think about it. If anyone has kids, the first thing, and we never did this as kids, but these days it seems to be the going thing. You always know kids are around because the first thing you hear is them screaming in that high-pitched that screech of a scream.
And they're having
a
good time.
They love doing that. They're having a good time, exactly.
Right.
And that's the difference between a scream and a yell.
Okay.
A scream is having a good time, or it's fear. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
A yell is strength and power.
Okay.
And we have to teach the kids the difference. When I teach kids how to yell, and I teach adults how to yell, women, in my women's self-defense, I make sure they put their hand on their stomach, and I have them yell the word no. If you just screechly scream it, you will feel no vibration or contraction from the abdominal area.
Mm-hmm.
But if you yell it with a strong, powerful gust of wind,
wow,
you will feel your abdominal muscle contract. You'll feel a vibration under your hand. And now you know you have a powerful no, a powerful yell. And that's the yell that's going to get the attention of other adults. You hear kids screaming all the time, you're not going to turn your head.
Right.
You might slowly turn just to see what they're up to.
Yeah.
But if you hear a child literally yell with force,
right,
and with power, then you know that child's in trouble.
Wow.
And that's the difference between a scream and a yell.
Now, you also have an interesting technique on learning license plates if you're being followed.
Yes, you know what I did was, you know, a long time ago, I had a roommate who was a police officer, and she always told me, you know, little tidbits of things you should always be aware of and all, and I was always curious about, you know, I always watched the police shows and all, and so I didn't really fully learn the universal code, but I researched it, I looked it up, I even put it in my book so that people would see what the universal code is with police use. Meaning for when they do license plate numbers, each letter always has the same word attached to it. Because if they're on with dispatch and they say, like, BNW, well, the letter B, which I'm saying B for boy, the dispatcher may not hear it all clearly. And they may hear the letter P like in Paul.
Right, right.
Okay. So what I did was I literally looked up and found the universal, what they call U.S. law enforcement phonetic alphabet. And so for each letter from A to Z has a specific name attached to it that every single law enforcement person uses no matter where they are in our country. So let's say that your license plate had the letters C, K, T.
Right.
Well, C is always Charlie, K is always King, and T is always Tom. That way with the radio dispatch, whether they're static on the radio or, you know, the hearing's not all that great or they're not being succinct in their tone,
sure.
You always still know what letter they're saying.
Uh-huh.
Because you just take the first letter of the word. So what I did was I took that and I thought, how can kids do this? I mean, this is not exactly an easy thing to always remember. Okay? So then I thought, wait a minute. First, let's decide this, and I'll try to do this quickly because I know we have only so much time
on
this.
Yeah, typically we have 4 minutes, and I actually have one other thing I want to get to, but go ahead.
Well, let me tell you, in a nutshell, every state has their own format of license plate. For the state of California, it's a single-digit number, three letters, and then three numbers, which is a lot to remember.
Yeah.
So basically, I just decided, okay, take the first number and make believe you're putting it in your pocket that many times. And when you do that, it looks silly, but it sounds like it takes a lot of time, but it doesn't. Believe it or not, you'll always remember the number that's in your pocket.
Right.
Now take the three letters. And for children, what I do is I tell them, think of three animals, any kind of animal you want, because you want to make it silly. All right? So even in my book, when I tell you, okay, the letter E, we say elephant. Okay?
Right.
Okay, so letter Z could be zebra. Okay? A can be alligator. Okay, so let's say it's EZA, all right? So it's elephant, zebra, alligator. Well, uh-huh. if you say that in your mind three times, believe me, it sounds silly, but you,
right.
Because it sounds silly, you remember it. Now
absolutely.
Take the last three numbers and just say, in fact, just give me three separate numbers real quick.
1, 2, 3.
Okay, 1, 2, 3. So instead of saying 1, 2, 3, I say just make it a whole number, 123.
Uh-huh, got
okay,
it.
Okay, so we have
this is all fabulous information. I hate cutting you off because there's so many more things I did want to discuss with you. The book
right.
is wonderful. Tell everyone, first of all, where they can get the book and
you
how they
can get the book. First of all, you can get it at Amazon.com. They ship out immediately.
Great.
And it's great. You can get it at my own website, which is classeducation.org, along with all the other age-appropriate self-defense books.
Wonderful.
And you can get it at BarnesandNoble.com. There's also a lot of other internet outlets out there and a few local stores that are carrying the book.
Okay, so it's classeducation.org. And, Jana, what if a parent wanted to implement this program into either their school or their school district? You're available.
You know, I'm available to do school assemblies. I go out and I talk to board of education people and all. All they have to do is contact me through my website. Just click on Contact Janet, and I will get back to you within 24 hours. And tell you everything that entails in the course and how to go about it.
And if you're a teacher and you wanted to order the curriculum?
The same thing. You can go to Amazon.com. All the curriculums are right on there. You can go, or you can go to classeducation.org. And believe it or not, sometimes I even have internet specials going on.
Oh, fabulous. How many schools has this been implemented since you started it?
You know, since I started the program, right now my program is in 9 different states.
Great.
And I just got an order from Ireland, England,
wonderful.
Australia, and New Zealand. And I also know that it's already been implemented in South Africa.
Oh, my gosh.
So
I'm very
pleased with that.
We're
getting it out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I would urge everyone to either contact Janet or go to your school principal or your school district. And really, I think this is probably one of the most important things they could learn, especially in PE, is what a great environment. And it's fun.
Well, if I may very, very quickly, let me just say this. In physical education, we physical educators are trained to educate the physical. This is part of it. Not every kid and not every family can afford karate classes
That's
or self-defense
right.
martial arts. We're here to provide a service, and it's our job as parents and teachers to provide this to our kids free of charge.
Janet,
and
thank
that's
you.
How they're going to get it. In their
Thank
school
you
curriculum
so much.
As
Absolutely.
Part of it. There's no reason we have to charge kids to be safe in our society.
Thank you so much for joining us, and please join us again next week on the Athena Fortune Show. And we're off.